GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Back to Horse Racing Happy Hour live at Churchill Downs. I'm Mike Nandolfo, and I'm joined by Louis Ribeau. And Louis, I'm usually the basketball expert on the show, but I think I have to
get out of the way.
I'm gonna have to move aside for basketball Hall of Famer Dan Issel. Dan, how's it going?
It's going terrific. Thanks for including me in the Horse Racing Happy Hour.
Well, anytime, actually. We'd love to have you actually on the podcast on a Thursday night one night. So we'd welcome that because you definitely are no stranger to the horses. Were you into the horses before you came to Kentucky, or was that something that while you were at the University of Kentucky, just the love for horses just kind of grew?
Just a little bit. I grew up on a dairy farm, so I've always loved the agricultural aspect of it. And when I was in high school, my father owned a leg of a pacer that we used to go into Chicago and watch all the time. But no, I didn't fall in love with the thoroughbred industry till I got to UK.
There it is. Well, Dan,
give us a letter grade on that song that brought us back in.
Well, all I can say is, Louie, when we get back to our regular show, you won't hear that again.
I love that song. What's going on here?
Oh, man. That's the nicest Dan was ever going to be about that song.
Uh-huh, yep.
Well, Dan, we miss you today, man. It's a, you know what? We were worried about it. It is very warm, but it is also very breezy, and we got pretty lucky. We moved out of our usual spot in Radio Row up in Row K. We're down in, I think this is
Row G.
Yeah,
yep. So, G for Gandolfo.
There you go. A little bit more of a breeze down here, and a little bit out of the way of the speakers. Do you have a favorite? I was telling Mike that you think Churchill Downs is, I don't how to say this. It's a little worse than Pimlico. Isn't that how you feel about it?
Whoa!
No. I love Churchill Downs, but you can't put it ahead of Keeneland. There's no way.
Two totally different experiences for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. I think that's actually where you usually fall.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to Fenway, and then there's going to Yankee Stadium, right? They're just, it's one's...
It's going to going different. To a Cubs game, going to White Sox game.
Yeah,
just different.
Exactly.
There you go.
All right, well, we got the bugle just was played for race three here, so we better talk about this one real quick, Louie.
Dan, if you don't have those pulled up, go ahead and pull up today's, of course, because we will talk about those as they come on live.
So I got it.
Great.
I've got it in front of me.
Race three is a 6-furlong sprint, making claiming race purse of $60,000. Phillies and Bears, 3-year-olds and up in this race. Louie, who did you like in this one?
Another thing that only happens at Churchill Downs, the maiden claiming price of $75,000.
Yes, right.
Kind of an incredible sort of thing here. A lot of different ways to go. By the way, just on the line right now, the 6, Parrish Bell is your favorite. In at 8-5, that's a Mike Maker, Ricardo Santana Jr. combination. They've been actually running a bunch together. Throw the blinkers on this horse, which is interesting because the horse is already a front-running style. Obviously, they want to have a little bit more speed up front. I actually agree with the betting public here. Horse ran really well last time at Churchill Downs. Seems primed right now. Ran in this kind of company. Stepping into 75 instead of 50. To me, though, not a huge difference between 50 and 75 at Churchill Downs. Ran a really nice time over the course at 117 over 6.5 furlongs. So I think that's absolutely a possible winning horse. Who'd you land on, Dan?
I have the same horse. There's all kinds of pluses, as you said. Mike Maker's great off the claim. The horse has had a couple of really nice work since the claim. He had a bullet workout last time out. Blinkers go on, and I really didn't see much else in this field. I know he's stepping up, but that's not a problem for Maker and Santana.
Yeah, it's interesting because the five here is 3-1, and to me, the speed figures, the times that the horses have run, they're not even in the same category, and so it's interesting to see.
Now,
yeah, it's interesting to see. I think it's more of a connection thing with Steve and with Tyler being on that horse on Fabulous Fanny. Dan, have you ever said the words Fabulous Fanny before?
No.
Are you sure? And
nor will I.
I could see Danis on the 70s saying, "Man, she's got a fabulous fanny."
I agree with you.
I mean, I'm a little shocked by that one. You know,
other horse that's getting a lot of money, by the one way, the one is scratched out of here is Sacred Kitten. So we will not get the McPeak runner who was up the track last time out. Hopes and Dreams is getting a bunch of money here. The 2 was 5-1 on the morning line, 4-1 right now. Second time starter, Dan. I love the second time starting angle, and I don't hate a horse dropping in class. Greg Foley, limited sample size, 4 for his last 9, dropping from maiden special into claiming. Do you think the 2 has a shot here?
I do, for a couple of reasons. Number one, the horse is owned by my dear friend Brett Jones. But the fact that Greg went to Flow to ride this horse, I think that's a plus. And, you know, Team Foley's having a pretty good meet. So, I give him a big shot. I might like him better than the 5.
Yeah, it just than the 6. Yeah, it just gives you a chance at 4-1. Really, really nice price there. You did mention the 5, Fabulous Fanny. There are some other horses here that I'm always interested in the horse running at the 75 level. They ran him only in the maiden special weight ranks because the horse was paying its bills, and that's the 4 2020 Hoax. Which I love as a name, by the way. 19-1 now with Giovanni Franco and Barry King. Anything to say there, Dan, about this horse that just seems to want to finish?
I think it comes down. I agree with you. The 5 horse was a morning line favorite, but he's trending upward because even though those were straight maiden races, the times were not very fast at all. So I think the 6 stands out here. The only horse I give a chance to upset him is the 2 horse on the rail.
People are listening. Here, the 2 has gone from 5-1 on the morning line to 7-2. Show is too popular.
Yes, so, that's right.
That's right. That's a daughter of American Freedom, of course, from the pulpit line, and then Spitestown on the dam side. And so we're getting to see more and more of these younger horses as we get further into the year. By the way, if you are just joining us and wondering who's on the line, this is the Horse Racing Happy Hour. We're out at the track for Stephen Foster Preview Friday. He's Mike Gandolfo. I'm Louis Ribeau. And on the line, of course, is the horse himself. His name is Dan Issel. You can catch us 10 to noon back at it on Tuesday. And so we're talking right now about Race 3 at Churchill Downs, a $75,000 maiden. We're going 6 furlongs. We're opening with 3 quicker sprints on the dirt here. But we are coming up on the starting gate. So, Nick, if you have that race ready to go, we'll go out to Travis Stone for the call here for race 3. All right. So a reminder that the 6 right now is 3-2. There are 2. Everybody's listening and betting is down to 3-1, Dan. There you go. And so we are cruising right along and ruining everyone's betting pool. But
I mean, I think there's something to be said for that because I think Parrish Bell is the obvious choice. But then there is some things to say that this horse is a vulnerable favorite at the same time.
Sure.
You look at
we just saw one the last
time. It would be interesting. I do think the 6, though, is probably the one to be here as they load the gate.
So we will do a V-Show Exacta Extravaganza here, 6 and 2.
They're in the gate, and they're off. 2020 Hoax breaks near the top. Fabulous Fanny is there. Parrish Bell comes on through. Hope and Dreams from the inside, and she's on through to the front now. So Hope and Dreams has taken over the lead with a move up the rail. Parish Bell's going to have to stalk from second, and now 2020 Hoax is back into third. Fabulous Fanny advances up into fourth. Mahomebred is racing in fifth early. Spare a Dime down inside of Tricked Out there at the back, but only four lengths off the leader. And the leader is Hope and Dreams onto the far turn. Rockets through a quarter in 21-1. Three furlongs from the wire. Hope and Dreams in front. Parish Bell hot on the chase in second. Fabulous Fanny comes on three wide third. 2020 Hoax is down inside fourth. Off the turn, into the stretch. Hope and Dreams, tenuous lead. Parish Bell bearing down. Fabulous Fanny is third. 2020 Hoax is still fourth. One furlong to go. Hope and Dreams is determined. Still in front and turning back the challenge of Parish Bell. Hope and Dreams save something left for the final furlong, and she spurts away, winning it by three. Hope and Dreams was first. Parish Bell second. Fabulous Fanny third. And 2020 Hoax checks in fourth.
All right, the horse racing happy hour, giving you exactus right there. Hope and Dreams, just as we mentioned, the two horses that we were the highest on to in the six, the two with Florent Giroux, Greg Foley trained. Hope and Dreams pulls away with the win right there. And if you're going to hit that exacta, that's probably the way you wanted to hit it. Did the two went off 5-2, and the six was 8-5.
Yep.
It's not going to pay a ton on that exacta, but still, it's not a bad way to start.
I'm looking right now, just on a buck, it paid 15-1.
There you go.
We'll take it.
All right.
Wow.
I'm with Dan. That's a nice number, actually. So, we thought that two. What's funny is we talked about Fabulous Fanny too as well. So went 265, and so there you go, Dan. A reason to like a Fabulous Fanny.
Oh, that was a chalky, chalky race right there.
Yes,
that's okay.
Yes, it was. And I think the reason the outcome was the way it was is the fact that that Greg Foley did put Flo up on this horse. He was in front with some fast fractions, but had something left at the end for sure.
There you go. So Dan Issel joining us here on the Horse Racing Happy Hour, filling in noon to three for Bobby V, who was nice enough to fill in for us 10-2. We Dan and I are usually on at 10 o'clock on 680-1057. You can find us there. Keep those texts coming, 437-9680. Is anyone flaming us, Nick, over race two?
Let's see. I'm refreshing. I'm refreshing it right now.
To refresh it more recently too. It isn't feeding as well as it used to for some reason.
Yeah, it's of course we get the Talk Sports. Damn it. thanks for the six, Louis. I had the trifecta. So you have one fan from earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Horse racing is sports. Last I checked, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It's our top level sport at Kentucky.
Yeah, it is our pro professional sport until we get an NBA team here. Yeah, right. So Dan's working on that. Yeah. So there you go.
It's been. I'm going through, though. I mean, there's been a lot of, lukewarm endorsements of you guys. But those are good because there's only been it's been about an hour since we've got a Louis a Bum text.
Well, listen, if you like what you hear, you can listen to the podcast. Look up the Horse Racing Happy Hour anywhere where you listen.
Yep.
We release our show every Thursday night. We are actually streamed live for the show, and then we release it on the podcast. And Horse Racing Happy Hour, anywhere you get your text. We're going to move on to race six tomorrow, which is the first stakes race tomorrow, and it's named after a horse that I can only say is probably one of my all-time favorite fillies. This is the Teppan. It is a $200,000 race for fillies that are 3 years old. Louis, this is a mile race, those Teppan specialty. What is your pick here?
So we've talked about several races today where you could either really have faith in the favorite or you don't. And I do have faith in the favorite here in Wicked Halo the Four, who's coming out of several different stakes races, has won one of them, and that was the last one here with the Leslie Lady overnight, 158,000. So the same, a similar level to this, seven furlongs, gets a run against just 3-year-olds here, ran against open company last time out. And so she gets a little bit of class relief, which is interesting to say. Did run in the grade three, eight bells, excuse me, but behind Matarea. Guess who runs behind Matarea? Everybody.
Everybody, that's right, so, that's right.
Was there, had Irad in the irons that day. And so this is the only part of the sequence where I feel like I can really shorten up. So I'm going to lean on Wicked Halo the Four here and move on with the sequence. What says Dan Issel?
Well, is this not one of the races, Louie and Mike, that was supposed to be on the grass?
It, It very well could have been. She definitely was a – Teppan was a turf filly, so definitely could have been.
Yeah, I think this is one of the three races.
Yes, in the past, this race has been on the turf, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And as I believe the next race we're going to talk about, the American Derby, that was also a grass race.
It's always a grass
but,
race, yeah.
That, I think that's why a $200,000 stake race, you only get seven horses. I agree. I think that Wicked Halo stands out. I'm not going to single, though. I'm going to include the two-horse, Brad Cox with his go-to guy, Floron, for Judmont Farms, and Into Mischief filly out of a Spitestown mare. So that filly could have been running on the grass as well. But a good progression. First time out, six furlongs, got beat by four lengths. Next time out, six and a half, won by a length and a quarter. And next time out, a mile at Churchill, which is what this race is, and wins by three and a quarter.
Nice.
Progressively better buyer's figures as well. So I'm going to use the two and the four in my horizontal betting.
All right. I lost you there for a second there, Dan. So your pick in this one is, again, for our listeners.
He's gonna use the two and the four here.
I'm gonna use the two and the four in my horizontal wagers, and those are the wagers I love to play. I like the pick fours and the pick fives, and so I'll use the two and the four in here.
Another horse to look at here, obviously, is the Joe Sharp Luis Saez combination on Hardy Constitution. The one. This is a $200,000 purchase just in October of 2020. A daughter of Constitution. And so Hardy Constitution coming in has only won at the maiden special weight ranks at Oaklawn, but over a good surface. And again, Dan, earlier in the show, I don't know how much you've been able to listen, but we've been talking about the possibility of maybe not a washout tomorrow, so not a sloppy track, but perhaps
pop-up showers.
Yeah, pop-up showers. So maybe a little bit of a muddy go or a good go, whatever you want to call it. And so this horse did break its maiden over that that wet go at Oaklawn. Got to Churchill last time, tried the mile against Winners for the first time. After trying the Fantasy, by the way, on the way to the Kentucky Oaks, didn't seem to like the two turns. Go back to the one-turn mile here at Churchill Downs. Runs a really nice speed figure. Finishes second with Martin Garcia. We get the bump up to Luis Saez here. So if I was looking for a second horse, I would actually lean on Hardy Constitution, because you're not going to get that Brad Cox name attached to the horse. You might get a better price on the one Hardy Constitution.
Louis, you bring up a good point. How much credence do you put in the relationship or the ratio, if you will, between the horse's stud fee and what the horse brings? You just said Hardy Constitution brought $200,000
as a
yearling, but Constitution stud fee is $85,000, so that's not exactly a home run.
Oh, sure, right, yeah, it's still, I mean, $85,000 is still a hefty a hefty breeding price, right? What I'm getting at is more, they thought this horse was good enough to try the Oaks track. It didn't work, brought the horse back at one turn, which I really like.
Right.
Obviously, on the Constitution bloodline, going to be able to go the distance, but this horse seems to prefer the one-turn mile, and so getting to stay in that, has tried Churchill Downs, has been working over Churchill Downs, seems to know the track here now, and so hopefully get a run out of her. But again, I'm going to lean on Wicked Halo here, who has won at this track, who has put up big speed, and is going to be, you know, going a mile for the first time. I think that's something, if you wanted to point out, that you could say you didn't like. But the horse seems to want to overtake horses in the stretch and then pull away, and so a mile might not be the worst thing for a daughter of Gunrunner, of all things. So there you go.
And one just quick note about this race: the six horse Runaway Wife is actually listed in a race in race nine today. Has not scratched out of race nine today,
okay.
So I'm assuming that the Runaway Wife will more than likely scratch out of this race tomorrow. Will probably more than likely scratch
another
out
Gunrunner.
The
Yeah,
and that's a 6-1 for tomorrow. I mean, that's a horse that they definitely thought factored in with Julian Laparoa aboard. But more than likely, that horse will race in the ninth race today and not in the Teppan tomorrow.
Okay.
So that means we'll move on to the seventh race, which is the American Derby, a $200,000 race. And just like Dan said, this is a race that was that was supposed to be on the turf, and then they're going to move it on the dirt with the turf course being shut down. It's a mile and a 16th. This is for 3-year-olds. Louis, who did you like in this one?
I'm going to let Dan go first. Dan, go ahead.
Well, again, this is a race that was originally carded for the turf, and I think there's some people in here taking a shot. You know, Churchill's dirt course is probably kinder to turf horses than any dirt track in the country, and so I think it's worth taking a shot at. But you know, I think you can eliminate some of these horses just because they look and are bred to be turf horses only. I started with the five horse McLaren Vale. That horse was 4-1 on the morning line. He had to go to Indiana. Is it
Horseshoe Indianapolis? There you go.
Had to go to Indianapolis to win his non-winners other than, and it was a sloppy track, and he has the highest wet number I've ever seen. So at 4-1, I'm throwing him out. The 6 looks like a turf horse to me, but Rusty Arnold's taking a shot. Rusty's having an unbelievable meet. He won the first race today. He's over 20%, and it's been a long time since Rusty has had that, but looks like a turf horse. Red Run is probably a turf horse, and I don't like him because he never passes any horses. The 8 horse, Kuchar, that's a nice race that he won last time. He won one non-other with Florent Giroux and keeps him in the saddle. But if you look a little deeper, that was a 6-horse field, guys, and he was 4-5. And so there wasn't much in there. Rattlin' Roll is who I hope wins, because as Louie knows, I've got a really nice connect yearling, so I'd like that. But the horse I wound up on is the bottom horse, OP Firecracker.
Yep.
Last time out, he ran a 1 1/8 at Churchill, got beat a length with a nice Byers of 85. They put the blinkers on. Ricardo Santana, I think, has the mount. And after all, it is 4th of July weekend, so my pick is OP Firecracker.
Dan, that's with a little bit of a value play right there,
a long shot.
I think we call it his Louis Dampier.
So, his Dampier pick of the day.
Louis Dampier pick of the day, his long shot.
There's a chance Louis is listening, by the way.
By the way, can I just say that there was this, I saw this post of the top 10 shooters of all time, and any list that has the top 10 shooters of all time that does not include Louis Dampier is
We do this on the show a lot, actually. So it's one thing I like about, and I'll compliment Dan because I'm not actually, you know, we're not at 10 to noon. I can't be nice to Dan during 10 to noon. Is that Dan looks at players over different generations, and we've both come to the conclusion that Steph Curry is probably the best shooter of all time.
Right? Yeah, I'll go with that.
But Dan's not afraid to say that, right?
Right.
And so it's not like, well, I mean, I played against Jerry West. He's obviously better. No, it's not like that at all. It's just, you know, take the data as it comes and watch the guys. So, Dan, I landed on Kuchar actually because of that experience. Going the 2 turns, seems to really relish it. I would argue, actually, I went back and watched the race that you mentioned at 1 1/4. I don't think the horse really was all out. And so my sense is, you know, even though the group was not as strong as this one, I think that he'll be okay in this company. I agree with Dan, though. I actually landed on some longer shots in this race. I think Rattle and Roll at some point will pick one of these off. There's a Gunrunner baby in this race as well, Red Run, who's been running on the turf and not terribly well, has never won on the dirt either. It's 5-1. I'm kind of wondering about that.
Yeah,
why? If they're just trying to make something here, if the connections are just assuming we'll get the horse down to 5-1 with Tyler and with Steve. Whenever I say that, by the way, that's when Tyler wins the races.
You absolutely.
Right? Yeah, right. Yep. So it could be a problem.
Whenever we besmirch a horse outright. Right.
Yeah. Well, and it was on Stephen Foster preview day that Tyler won 2 races where he paid more than $20.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, who's letting Tyler go off at $20? You know,
right. It's just not I remember that race. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
2 of them, I think. And so, an interesting race, actually, because I do think the prices that are here are pretty fair. I understand why Rattle and Roll is 3-1 on that Derby trail. And everything else, but you know,
the hit the board, the mat win,
wins the Breeders' Futurity, the whole thing.
Yeah,
the horse is, and he's, you know, like we said, for Dan, we're hoping he keeps it going for the connection there.
I think that horse is almost a shoe-in to hit the board.
Rattle and Roll is a very competitive horse, and in this company, would you agree, Dan? He's almost a shoe-in to be part of the trifecta.
I would hope so. although I have my son, who's a better handicapper than I am. he and I went over this race, and he owns part of the Connect Colt, so he's cheering for Rattle and Roll as well. But when he had his handicapping hat on, he said he didn't think he hit the board. So we'll see. He certainly is not the horse. I mean, he won a grade one as a two-year-old, the Breeders' Future. He has a speed figure he has, but as far as visual, he certainly hasn't duplicated that race.
But I wonder, too, like if some of that is like you get off that Triple Crown trail and you almost have to start to redefine yourself as a horse. And that's where I think that third place finish in the Matt Wynn against a pretty good field. And then his bullet workout at four furlongs, the top workout, 47.2 on June 4th. I mean, I don't know. I think this horse is – got a lot of upside.
By the way, if I had a long shot in this race, I would go with the 10 War Campaign. Broke his maiden last time out, never ran as a two-year-old. I think this is third up for this horse ever, has been working well at Keeneland. Broke his maiden by stretching out over two turns and overcame someone overcame a couple horses in the stretch. There are several horses in this race, actually, that like to be near the front. McLaren Vale is one of those horses, for example, that Dan mentioned earlier. Search Engine likes to be up front. You're going to have some speed up front. If it gets out of control up front, if you get a turf horse, for example, that kind of gets on the dirt and goes, oh, God, what do I do here? Okay, it's training. I got to go really fast. Maybe they jump up front. OP Firecracker, who Dan mentioned, is going to be up front in that group, right, has early speed, right? So I'm wondering if maybe a War Campaign that has that late speed could be the kind of horse that picks this race off.
I like that pick a lot, actually, Louie.
I like it, too. Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
I think we're late for a break, and we need to go on to the next break, and then we'll come back and talk about the next race here at Churchill Downs, which is race four, I believe, is what we're on. And then we'll get right back to the stakes races on Stephen Foster Day. This is the Horse Racing Happy Hour. All right, welcome back. Horse Racing Happy Hour live from Churchill Downs. It is the closing weekend here at Churchill Downs. Mike Gandolfo, Louis Rabeau, Dan Issel, and the trumpet is playing right now for the fourth race. Is that right? Is that we in the fourth race?
Fourth race?
Yeah, all right. There we go. Bain Specialway coming up, $120,000 purse, five furlong sprint. Another two-year-old race here, Louis. We're going to get a look at a lot of two-year-olds this weekend.
Yep, and all first-timers here.
This is a complete first-timer, so who do you like in this one?
It is first-timer season, if anyone's wondering, and so this is where you have to look at, to me, Dan, I don't know if you're the same. I lean on trainer numbers with first-timers, especially in a race with all first-timers, and so we have sung his praises on the show before, but Tom Amos, of course, has the two promise of open year, is at 2-1, is the, I imagine, the betting favorite. Trying to look around the column here. She is. Is going to be one of those horses that you look at. A horse that's getting a bunch of money right now is the one at 7-2, was 10-1 on the morning line. John Court, Randy Morse. The reason is a bullet workout last time out, going three furlongs, 36, essentially 36-1. And so that horse is going to get a bunch of money. Dan, I imagine in two-year-old races, you kind of lean on two things just from our Fridays together, trainers. And then I think breeding really matters for you for two-year-olds, huh?
Yeah, and this is a great example of what we were just talking about, the relationship between the sire's stud fee and the cost. Promise Hope, the two horses, 2-1 right now, is by Ghost Zapper, whose stud fee is $75,000. And yet this filly only cost $65,000 at the Keeneland September sale. Tom Amos had a two-year-old on Wednesday, I think it was, a horse named She'll Never Know, who went off 3-5, who had an impressive workout pattern like this filly does, and she didn't hit the board. I would like, Free Drop Billy had his first winner yesterday or the day before, and I would like that horse if she wasn't on the rail. I don't like betting first-time starters that draw the rail. I'm going to take a little bit of a flyer here. I heard something just this morning that I'd never heard of. It's called the Laredo Leap. And, of course, that's in reference to Mr. Asmussen breaking all these horses down in Laredo, Texas, and how fast they get out of the gate. So So I'm going to go with the 9, Frigid Lady, 5-1 on the line right now. Brian Hernandez, Steve Asmussen cost $100,000 as a yearling. So I'll take a little bit of a flyer on the 9 horse here.
You're still getting 5-1 on that horse right now.
That's a great price right there on that
and
horse.
And you get Brian Hernandez Jr., who knows this track as well as anyone, and frankly riding 2-year-olds as well as anyone. I'm going to go a little heavier on breeding here, and I'm going to land on the 5. Sparkling Rose, the daughter of Violence, great sprinter himself. And so I'm going to lead on Sparkling Rose, the 5, Tyler, and Joe Sharp, the two of them hitting together at an absurd 39%. 7-2 on the 5 right now, I think is absolutely a terrific price. Hits at 13% with 2-year-olds and 14% in maiden special weight company. And so those are the two horses that we'll mention. Again, that the 1, Doughty, is getting most of the money moving away from its morning line because of those recent works, a 47-4, 4-furlong work on June 19, and then a 3-furlong work at 36 seconds. Interesting here, Edgar Morales is hitting at 5%, and I really like Edgar. He's actually, Dan, I'll tell you, on the Sundays when they have the little kid stuff, he actually walks around the little petting zoo and gives kids high fives.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is cool, right? And so it's an easy guy to root for. By the way, several of the guys do. Tyler does that. He takes pictures and everything else, and so it's really nice. But I would not bet Edgar Morales at under 2-1. In a maiden weight, no. Race with first-time starters, and that's not a knock on Edgar at all. It's just you're not getting any value there. So I'm going to settle on the 5 there, Sparkling Rose 7-2 with Tyler and Joe.
All right, so again, this is the Horse Racing Happier, Mike Gandolfo, Louis Ribeau, and we're joined by Hall of Famer Dan Issel, and we are previewing Stephen Foster Day, which is tomorrow here at Churchill Downs. And if you want just the perfect weekend, Louis,
yeah,
as you go to Stephen Foster here at Churchill Downs, and you hop in the car, and Luce City FC looks for their third straight wins tomorrow as the Boys in Purple host the Birmingham Legion FC on Saturday. Join Jeff Milby and Casey Whitfield for pregame coverage at 7:45. Kickoff is at 8. And, of course, you can listen if you're not live in the stadium, or maybe you are and you just want to listen while you watch them.
Sure.
You can listen right here on ESPN 680. And as a reminder, get to Lynn Family Stadium early on Saturday and enjoy $2 beers.
Until 7:30. Yeah. And so that is where I've – so Dan Issel is convinced that paint drying is better than soccer. And so I've told Dan, the good news is they have $2 beers that he likes until 7:30.
Yeah.
So Dan's going to take me to Keeneland in October. We've discussed this. I'm getting the bougie Keeneland experience in October. And then,
well, we're going to the Breeders' Cup in Keeneland.
Well, we're also doing that. We'll see Dan at that. Okay. Don't worry, you settle down. And then
maybe Dan should join us on the air for Breeders' Cup.
I think Dan absolutely has to come out of his palace and join us for some of the Breeders' Cup coverage. You think you could do that, Dan?
Sure. I would love to do it. If you can get me into Keeneland on Breeders' Cup Day, I will be there.
We can do that.
Done.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's a date.
All right. As long as Louis doesn't upset anybody.
Dan's gonna stay at my house, the poor guy, and then we're gonna commute together and he's gonna stop doing the show with me. 4 hours in the car each way with me, he's gonna be like, none of this.
No, your 4 kids. Yeah.
My 4 kids are running around.
By the way, scratch the 8 horse in this race. Macy's Gemstone is scratched out of this race now too. So
solid field of 10 though.
So yeah, solid field. Yep. Big nice big field. And
these are the races too, by the way, if you're playing the longer sequences that can really the starts of the late pick 5 here. These are the ones where if you take a shot, you can really fill in those pick 5s, Dan. What do you right? I mean, if you can, especially if you can hit a longer shot here.
Is the 2 horse down to 6-5?
6-5.
Yeah, that's a crazy price right there.
I'm getting 4-1 on Tyler and Joe Sharp on that Daughter of Violence. I'm feeling pretty good about that, obviously.
And I like the 9. I'm right there with Dan on the 9.
On the Frigid Lady. There you go. Yeah. Very good. All right.
So they're getting ready. They're loading the gate. We're going to go to Nick and let Nick play Travis Stone's race call right here live from Churchill Downs.
Riders off American Maestra. I ain't got a lead up.
Bit of we're back on here while they're sorting things out. The three had tossed his rider, and they're trying to get everything sorted out here, get the gate loaded up.
That is Farron Peterson, by the way, who has a doctorate degree. She's actually a really interesting.
Oh, really?
Really interesting person. Yeah, and got into equine work, and then realized she loved riding and wanted to try the jockey thing, and they've started giving her more and more opportunities. And I think that's a name we're going to hear for a while.
Wow,
Farron Peterson. She is only one win this meet, but 10 wins on the season and 112 pounds at all different tracks. Had a couple of really nice wins at Turfway Park.
They've now backed all the horses out of the gate.
So, yep, so we're going to back out. We're going to have a little bit of delay here, so why don't we move to the next day then? Let's move to race 8 tomorrow.
All right, race 8 tomorrow, while they're figuring this out, is the Florida Lee, which is an awesome race. And, of course, we're going to see She Dares the Devil. It looks like we're going to get a late scratch on that three horse.
Yep, we're going to scratch the three out.
Yeah, which we would anticipate. Just real quick before, because I don't think we're going to get into some super-duper handicapping on this one. The Florida Lee Stakes, historically, listen to the horses that have won this race. Latruska, Midnight Bisou, Elate, Rachel Alexander. I mean, this is a high-level grade two.
I have a real problem with the grading of the races tomorrow. The Stephen Foster is absolutely a grade one, and the Florida Lee is absolutely a grade one. And it bothers me that both of them are grade twos, but kudos to Churchill Downs for putting up purses that are like grade ones on those races.
And it's amazing. I mean, Evan Tante came in third in this race last year. I mean, this is how good this field typically is.
And frankly, it's a five-horse field tomorrow, but it's loaded. I mean, that Parlin's Pearl is going to be 5-2 on the morning line tomorrow is really incredible. You got Ava's Grace, who's another Oaks. I think every horse in this race, except for She's All Wolf and Super Quick, ran in the Kentucky Oaks at some point in their career. Just really, really high-end horses. And so, that's right. Ava's Grace scratched out right before the Oaks. But, yeah, they're starting to load the gate here, so we'll head back to Nick Valvano for Travis Stone's race call.
Oh.
All right.
We got a little delay going on here. So.
All right. And here we go with race 4 here at Churchill Downs.
They're in the gate. And they're off. Mystical Fire and Doughty, those two fast out of there. Promise of Hope fires up on through between them and Audrey's Willow from the far outside. Racing for the far turn, Doughty down inside of Promise of Hope. These two go head-to-head, and they lead by 2.5. Mystical Fire's back racing third. Sparkling Rose down inside fourth. Audrey's Willow, 3 wide fifth. Frigid Lady back in sixth. And then it's Song of Storms, and it is a long way back to Low Carry D, who's been totally outrun. Round the far turn, Doughty goes head-to-head with Promise of Hope. But Promise of Hope goes by the quarter pole, taking charge. Promise of Hope off the turn in front by 2. Doughty's back into second. Mystical Fire fights on. Sparkling Rose is there. Audrey's Willow's back in fifth. 1 furlong to go. Promise of Hope is roused to a 3. Now it's a 4-length lead. And Promise of Hope rambles home to win it by 3 lengths in the end. Mystical Fire's up for second. Doughty was third. And Frigid Lady finished fourth.
Hope at the price, but there was a reason why that horse was 6-5, I guess.
And that's a one to remember. That was unbelievable for a first-time effort, Dan.
That was an incredible, incredible race right there for Promises Hope.
Whew. Wow. Okay. All right. One to watch. There you go. Especially as we get into the summer races here at Ellis Park, or maybe that might be a Saratoga-bound horse there, Dan.
Yep. For sure. We said all the reasons not to bet on the horse, and that was the only one you should have bet on. That was impressive. Yeah, I'm going to guess that we see her next at the Spa in New York.
That sounds right.
And that could be on the Breeders' Cup Trail and the Breeders' Cup
I agree. It was that impressive. She looked like a total professional there, and kudos to the team there. Kudos to Tom Amos for having her ready, because she looks freaking awesome. That's the daughter of Ghost Zapper, by the way.
Well, let's talk about some other impressive fillies who have done some things in their career. And of course, we have She Dares the Devil in this field tomorrow in race 8. She Dares the Devil, 5 wins and 6 appearances here at Churchill Downs. The one time she came in second was her last race here in the La Trin, which Louie and I were here for. And she came in second to Pauline's Pearl. And then Pauline's Pearl turns around and gets beat by She's All Wolf. I mean, if you can figure this field out, it's like, who's going to be ready to race in this thing tomorrow? Because any of these horses have the capability to win this thing.
Dan and I have talked about this, too, with horses going year to year, and She Dares the Devil is 5 years old and hasn't won this year. Obviously, she's hitting the board. It's not like she's running poorly. She's getting out front. just not able to stay out front like
he's only rating twice, you know.
No, I understand. And at super high level, at grade two, grade one sort of company, we're getting into the grade two level here. I think of She Dares the Devil, Pauline's Pearl, both as grade one horses. So I think that means I have to think of She's All Wolf and Ava's Grace as grade one horses since they beat her last time out. Army Wife finished third in that Shawnee, by the way. And Dan said last week on the show, go ahead and single Army Wife. And he was right, by the way. She came back and won last weekend. Dan, does that make you any more likely to lean on She's All Wolf or Ava's Grace in this race?
No. I can't. This race is very hard to figure out. Now, the only reason you would like She's All Wolf is because in that last race, she did come from off the pace, and there looks like there's an awful lot of speed in here. Super Quick wants to be on the lead. Ava's Grace wants to be on the lead. She Dares the Devil looks like she wants to be on the lead. But, I mean, if you go, I don't understand what happened in that Shawnee. I mean, She's All Wolf wins it and pays $42. Yep. And Pauline's Peril, who was 2-5, doesn't hit the board. I'm going to draw a line through that race for all of those horses that were in it. The one horse on the rail, where did that 107 Byers come from the last time out? She wins the DuPont at Pimlico by 14.5 lengths. I've got to figure she's going to bounce to the moon. I'm going to stick with She Dares the Devil. If you go back and look at that race at Del Mar last year, I mean, she's on the outside. She can look at what's happening on the inside as far as the speed. But if you look at that Clement Hirsch at Del Mar last year, she did sit off the pace for the first half mile and then closed. Last time I know she got beat by the four horse, but she stumbled a little bit at the start. I'm gonna stick with She Dares the Devil.
Yeah, you know, I ended up putting Pauline's Pearl on top, and so I and just because I like her running style, we're seeing, you know, last two races aside, but they're sprints. You know, in the two turn races here at Churchill, we're actually seeing horses that stalk in our mid pack that are actually making runs, and no one's better at that in this group than Pauline's Pearl. I think she's really coming into her own as a 4 year old. I think there's a chance, Dan, and this is, you and I are going to disagree on the race here. She's an every other type. And so she didn't run well last time, won the time before in the La Troyenne grade one. Runs in the Azeri, no, you know, finishes second. Race before that, wins the grade three Houston Lady. Race before that, wins at Zia Park. But, you know, I think she's due to continue a really, really good four-year-old year. Two wins and a second. Like you said, you know, if you're going to draw a line through the Shawnee for some horses, I'm going to do the same for Pauline's Pearl. And I'm going to assume that she's going to have a really, really good ride here. We talk about drawing a line. She lost by 2.5 lengths. It's not like she was nowhere to be found or something, right? You know, and so I
they really were clustered.
Yeah, right. I really like her. She was one of my very, very favorite horses running in the Oaks last year. Didn't get it done in that race against Malathad and Search Results and Will Secret and those horses, but came back right away, ran well after that. And so I think she's found her stride as a four-year-old, and I think that Asmus and Rosario combination to 25% will get it done. She Dares the Devil is not missing the board. I'll say that emphatically. I don't care who's in this race and what happened in the Shawnee or whatever else. She's not missing the board. Dan, what do you do with a horse like Super Quick? Do you just assume the bounce? Is it possible she's actually on the improve because her last three buyers have gone up? I mean, I don't know what to do with her.
I don't either, but she's four. She's four racing against some five-year-olds in here.
Yeah.
She improved her buyer figure from the race before by 18 points, Lily. Yeah, right. And when that happens, I just don't think they're able to repeat that. So I'm throwing her out. You know, you owe me a Coca-Cola for Army Wife versus Maracuja, right?
Maracuja, that's right. Yes, sir.
The last time we did this? Okay, I'm going to go double or nothing on my Coca-Cola. I'll take She Dares the Devil over Pauline's Pearl.
Now, this is the horse racing happy hour. You don't have to say Coca-Cola. All right, yeah, no, I'm in. That sounds good.
The interesting thing to me is has She Dares the Devil ever beat Pauline's Pearl, ever finished ahead of Pauline's Pearl?
They were in the Oaks together.
No, they weren't. They were different.
Oh, it's 2 years apart. You're right. Yeah. 2 years apart. Excuse me.
I think Pauline's Pearl has always finished ahead of She Dares the Devil. But then again, I'm not – I just don't know –
you know, because She Dares the Devil. Yeah.
Yeah, so
I loves this track.
She Dares the Devil loves Churchill Downs, so we'll have to wait and see. Yeah. So, Dan, I think I cut you off. Sorry about that.
No, what I was going to say is you were talking about I didn't have to say Coca-Cola's, and you were referencing earlier you could get $2 beers at the soccer game.
Yeah, yeah. Buddy, yeah.
I'll pay $5 and not have to watch soccer.
There it is.
Dan's coming to the tailgate and leaving early. There you go. He's like an Indiana football fan.
Let's see if we can real quick get the Kelly's Landing overnight in before we take our next break. This is a 6.5 furlong race. Again, an overnight stakes, $160,000 purse. Dan, who did you like in this race?
You know, I hate to pick against Bango because, you know, we've had horses with Greg, and he and Travis do a great job. And this horse has won 7 out of 13 starts at Churchill. I picked against him last time, and he errs in the Aristides. But I don't see how you beat Aloha West. I mean, Aloha West is a triple-digit buyer guy. First time out, he hadn't raced in, 6 or 7 months in the Grade 1 Churchill Downs, and gets beat by Jackie's Warrior. Last time out, he's in the Met Mile at Belmont, and a mile isn't his deal. And, you know, Flight Line's in there, Speaker's Corner. I will be shocked. Number one, I'll be shocked if he doesn't win. And number two, I'll be shocked if you get 2-1 on him.
All right, so Aloha West ruined my Breeders' Cup last year because, Dan, I had Dr. Scheivel like all over that race, and I was all very confident about Dr. Scheivel. I think by the time we got to the race, it was like 6-1 or 7-1 or something, some kind of incredible number. He's coming on the outside. He and Aloha West are just there to pick up the pieces. I'll push back. I think Bango is absolutely a horse for the course, and I think that you use the 5 on top in that race. You know, a horse that's been really good recently that's in this race, Dan, is Awesome Jerry, and has won his last 2, obviously at lower levels. Really like the times, though. Improved to a sub-123, almost a 122 flat, over 7 furlongs last time out against Gunnett, who I know we can't figure out as a horse, but Awesome Jerry is just a really, really it's just been running really, really terrifically. Gerardo Corrales, yep. Underrated meet this year, winning at 13%, is hitting the board a lot. And this is a Safi Joseph Jr. trainee. The two of them hitting together at 2 out of 5. They're hitting at 30% overall, 3 out of 10. And so I think if you're looking for a horse to pick up the pieces as far as the trifecta, maybe even in your super bets here, Awesome Jerry is absolutely one to watch.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take our break here. Make sure, again, we are the Horse Racing Happy Hour. When you come to the track tomorrow, you grab your green sheet as soon as you get in and get ready for all your handicapping needs. We are the Horse Racing Happy Hour. Mike Gandolfo, Louis Rabeau, joined by Basketball Hall of Famer Dan Issel. And we will be right back for the last live race here from Churchill Downs, Race 5. And to talk a little bit about the Stephen Foster.
In. Dan Issel on the ones and twos here on the Horse Racing Happy Hour.
Little James Brown.
I'm Lou Rabeau alongside Mike Gandolfo at Churchill Downs.
Dan, have you ever seen James Brown in concert?
I have not.
I got to see him. One year he came in and did a free show for Derby. It was in the 90s. And I got to see him on the Belvedere. It was phenomenal.
Well, there you go. We are previewing.
I think he's terrific.
Yeah.
Previewing the Stephen Foster card for tomorrow here, closing weekend of the spring meet here at Churchill Downs before they shift horse racing, or at least thoroughbred racing, in Kentucky over to Ellis Park in Henderson. Hello to our friends at Ellis Park. I think Dan and I will probably be out there at some point this summer, and definitely make a trip to Kentucky Downs for part of that circuit. What?
Nick's kid is going to go with it. He loves living in America.
Dude, I love that song. Hardest working man in showbiz.
You love that movie, right?
And that movie, yes. Okay. All of it.
All right.
All right. So let's talk some Foster, man.
I don't know. Why don't we quick pick race five right now? Get it out of the way.
Okay.
So we kind of go Foster uninterrupted. And just real kind of quick, give me your thoughts on race five there, Louis. This is, again, a $65,000 purse on a 50,000 claimer race, non-two lifer here at Churchill Downs. This is the next race here on the card.
Yeah, so we're going 6 furlongs. I'm gonna go ahead and lean on the 3, who is 5-2, not the favorite. The 6 is actually the favorite. For Cryo, it's Billy Morey and Adam Bisquitza. Not great numbers of them together, but dropping out of that allowance rank back into the claiming rank. I think they know what this horse is. Lost by about 5.5 lengths last time out. Expect him to do better amongst this company. And so quick pick there. I'll take the 3 up top.
I'm with you. I think that's if you look at his last race, he was in a non-winner's Fatherland straight allowance. He says he got bothered at the start, only lost by 5.5 lengths. Bill Morey's having a tough meet. He's a 22% trainer this year and hasn't won a race at Churchill yet. Yeah. And, you know, with only 3 days left, he better hurry. But I think Bezusta is an underrated jockey. And so I'm on the 3 too, Lily.
And Cryo's been working really well over the Churchill Downs surface as well, which gives me a little bit of hope there. If people are wondering, the horse that's being bet down the most is the 6 Silk Trade. I think that's more of the connections with Tyler and with Norm Cassie. The two of them hitting together at 43%, no big deal. And so if you were looking for a jockey-trainer combination, you could go look at Silk Trade. Try to draw a line through that last outing where the horse just seemed to not want to do anything at all, but was coming in out of Hawthorne and Prairie Meadows. And so for me, that's why I'm going to lean more on the 3, who I think has been running in better company, even at Turfway to me, in those high-level allowance and those optional claimers, to me is a better company than coming in out of something like Hawthorne.
All right, so there we go. That's your pick. And, again, we're about 10 minutes from post. The horses are still in the paddock, which gives us a good opportunity to kind of talk about the Stephen Foster, the Grade 2 Stephen Foster, which, again, is the main event this weekend. And, really, it's the first major Breeders' Cup Classic, you know, prep race here that we've got going on. And, Louis, we got 2 major players to me in this race for the Breeders' Cup Classic. You kind of just shrugged your eyes. I think you maybe think there's 2, but to me,
well, you said 2.
I think there's 2 big ones. Like, you know, Mandaloon, who is right now the morning line favorite, but to me, like, this whole race starts with Olympiad. Olympiad is 1-4 straight. This is a horse that I could think could emerge as a serious contender for the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Man, and I would say I think the 3rd, if you're going to add a horse to that group, and we can go to Dan on this too, man, they think a lot of American Revolution. And the thing is about him, he wins at Belmont over a sloppy go over that mile and an eighth, one turn. He wins the Cigar Mile at Aqueduct over a mile, one turn. They bring him to the blame here, and they try to go 2 turns with him, first time off the layoff. Nowhere to be found. I shouldn't say nowhere to be found. He's in 3rd place. Dan and I both like Scalding that day, by the way. And so loses 2 horses like Dynamic One and Scalding. When you get a horse like Olympiad in this field, I even think a horse like Proxy might be running a little bit better than American Revolution. But I think people think big things of American Revolution because he's trained by Pletcher. He has those gaudy speed figures. He did win the Pennsylvania Derby last year over 2 turns. So it's not like he ran in it, and put up a 101 buyer figure in that race. But he seems to be a horse that dominates state-bred races and one-turn longer races. The Classic ain't that. It's 2 turns. You got to go 2 turns. And so there's thought, at least, that there's a 3rd horse. I don't think you're wrong to think that he's not part of this group, because I think Olympiad is absolutely the horse to beat here.
Especially when I think most of these one-turn mile horses are looking to see what Flight Line and Jackie's Warrior are going to do come that first weekend in November, because that mile, if both of them decide to go the mile, it's a mattress.
Well, and Dan, you'll have to help us. This is where we lean on you for Keeneland. Do they have a one-turn mile at Keeneland, or is it 2 turns?
No, it's two turns.
That's what I thought.
It is a 2 turn.
Yeah.
That's right from last time.
So that's interesting too. That puts a wrinkle into a lot of those horses. Actually.
Yeah,
it's two turns, and it's a very, because it's a short stretch. They started
almost right into the first turn.
Yes.
Right, that's right.
It's a mile and a 16th track.
So that's where, like, yeah, the decision for Jackie's Warrior and Flightline is going to be interesting, whether or not they decide to just get that little bit of a longer break and go the extra distance in a two-turn classic.
Or do the dirt mile or the sprint.
Right.
I mean, essentially, that's what you have to choose when it's at Keeneland. That's right. Yep.
But what those two horses do is going to dictate what so many other horses do. It's going to be very fascinating to watch.
It's interesting because, you know, it's interesting, and that's one of the reasons the Breeders' Cup is so interesting, Dan, is that if you're at Churchill, the dirt mile is one turn, right? And then you go to a Keeneland, it's two turns. You go to a Del Mar, it's two turns.
Right.
Right? And so, you know, it's just different track to track. It's one of the reasons I think that they move it around because, you know, it offers different opportunities for different horses.
Okay, Dan, who do you like here in the Stephen Foster?
I'm an Olympiad guy. I think you know, he just continues to fire, and I like the spacing of his races. Bill Mott, obviously one of the top trainers, he's hitting at 25% at Churchill. You know, Mandaloon, he's won two grade ones and hasn't been the first one to the wire yet. The Kentucky Derby and the Haskell, he both got moved up. But what concerns me is that race, that Saudi Cup race. I mean, that's just too bad to be believable. He got beat 18 3/4 lengths there. You know, it's tough to go halfway around the world and come back. I know he's training great. I mean, some really nice workouts. The one thing I wanted to ask you, so I am Olympiad over Mandaloon. I agree with Louie. I don't like American Revolution. And this is a grade one race. It should be a grade one race. And I don't think American Revolution is a grade one horse. Now, I know he won the Cigar Mile.
And beat Olympiad in that race, too, by the way.
In the Cigar Mile?
Yeah, Olympiad was in that race and finished fourth. But that was Olympiad's last loss.
Yeah, yeah. You know, following C and Plainsman, who ran second and third in that race, aren't grade one horses. I don't know what happened to Olympiad. I'm going to give you a horse not to overlook, and that's the one horse.
Dan, oh, my God. I can't do this show with him anymore.
Well, that's a horse we loved when he was on the Derby Trail.
Well, and he's been great lately. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, he's won three races in a row, all by 4.5 or more lengths. And I know Brad's got Mandaloon. He wouldn't put this horse in here if he didn't have a shot. Do you know anything about Last Samurai? I mean, here's Mr. Horton has given him to Wayne Lucas to train.
Yeah.
Last time out, he wins the Oaklawn Handicap by four lengths. It's not very often you win a grade two by four lengths and have the horse taken away from him. I don't understand that move at all.
You often wonder when you see moves like that if there was a difference in where they should run next or if there was, you know, how much maybe he comes out of that race and Dal Stewart says, hey, this horse needs time off. I know he ran great, but the horse needs time off. The owner says, I don't think he needs time off, and finds a trainer that agrees with him. But I don't know. Last Samurai, this is why I think this is a grade one, by the way, because a horse like Last Samurai comes out of a grade two win, and he's 8-1, right? In Olympia, Caudle River's coming out of three straight wins, all at very high levels, over really, really good times, 2-for-2 at the track, and is 10-1, right? And you get Brad Cox and Ricardo Santana Jr. Now, prediction. Caudle River goes off at like 6-1. Does that sound about right?
That's probably about right.
Yeah, okay. And then I think I think you're going to get a price on Last Samurai. I agree. And so that's the interesting thing here is where do you assume Last Samurai wins like every fourth race or so? He's 4-for-15 lifetime. He's 1-for-5 at Churchill Downs. Do you assume that's kind of the bump that's happening here? But the change in trainer, Dan, I'm with you. I don't know exactly what's going on with that.
And by the way, I think I like Caudle River more than I like Proxy.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, So I'm there on that too. I mean, Caudle River's been just fantastic.
And by the way, you have to really take a stand. And Dan brought it up. The horse is coming back from the Arabian Peninsula. There's usually a bounce, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, usually takes a race or two to get back to that North American running style, getting back to it. But as Dan points out, the works have been just fine. And so that's where, if you wanted to use Mandaloon, you would say, look, four furlongs of 48, 6 and 112, and 5 in a minute. Those are all winning works. Go ahead, Dan.
Who goes off the favorite here?
Mandaloon, because he's the Derby winner.
the Derby winner in air quotes.
I know. But
I'm actually thinking Olympiad goes off as the favorite in this race. I think we got too many people who will
for Bill Mott Junior Alvarado.
Yeah, I think Olympiad's gonna go off as the favorite.
Okay, all right. What do you think?
I'll be shocked if Olympiad doesn't go off as the favorite. Dan,
I think Brad's just got too big a following. I think he probably goes off but I think it'll be close. I really do. I think a lot of people have seen, you know, Olympiad. The only time, as you just pointed out, Mike, the only time he ran the Grade One, he got waxed. But he's been running awfully well, and Alvarado has won four in a row on him. So I don't know. It'll be close.
Look, Maximum Security lost the Cigar Mile. I mean, not every horse likes that aqueduct surface. So I'm willing to draw a line for Olympiad on that one. He seems to be much better fairgrounds here. Keeneland, you know, he's won at Saratoga. I mean, that horse has won at serious tracks against serious competition. And so I really do trust him tomorrow. But, you know, going forward with the classic class, it's kind of difficult to figure out who's in it. Like who the best older dirt males are, because they don't stick around anymore.
Well, not only that, but then we're not seeing a lot of these 3-year-olds from this year's Derby class step
jump up
to
right.
want to.
Not yet, at least, right? And so
they're not going to.
You don't think so?
No, I'm not. I mean, who Essential Quality is your
Mo
one?
Mo Donegal couldn't come back and win the Haskell.
We'll see, but I'm not loving this the way this 3-year-old class has shown their colors.
Epicenter's done for you.
We'll see. We'll see how he comes back.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I said Essential Quality. I meant Epicenter is what I meant. So
I will say this: if Flightline, whose next race is going to be the Pacific Classic, if he shows the brilliance around two turns that he has at one turn, then I think they're all running for second place.
100%.
That sounds right.
I mean, a lot of people feel like Flightline is the best horse in training right now, and you know, it's hard to disagree. But they've done so much to just pick and choose their spots right now, so we'll see.
All right, so we're going to play a game. We always play this with Dan on Friday, so we're going to do Foster or Notster.
Okay.
All right. Dan, Cotto River, Foster or Notster?
Foster.
Mike?
I'm guessing that means he's a contender?
Yes,
so
correct.
We'll go with Foster.
Foster. I'm a Foster as well. Number two, American Revolution. Mike, Foster or Notster?
Notster.
I'm going to go Foster. Dan?
Notster.
Okay. Olympiad. I think we're Foster. All Fosters on Olympiad. All right. Title Ready the Four. Foster or Notster? Dan Issel.
Notster.
Notster.
Okay. I'll go Notster as well. Proxy the Five.
Notster.
Notster.
Oh, I like him, but we got to go to the race here. Nick, go ahead and get us to the race.
Silk Trade is there. Lend It to Me as well. Cryo's not far behind. Amongst Friends backs out of there, and Swift taps the trailer. So down the back stretch run, three of them across the track now. Cryo down inside. Silk Trade in between, and Mamba 24 keeping pace with them. Two lengths back, Amongst Friends advancing toward the rail. Lend It to Me is wide by the half, forcing Swift Tap out into the center of the track. But it's a pretty tight pack to the far turn run. 3 furlongs from the wire. Cryo down inside with a short lead. Silk Trade hounding every step of the way. And Silk Trade has put a nose in front for the run to the quarter pole. Cryo trying to keep up toward the inside second. Amongst Friends comes off the rail from third. Top of the stretch, Silk Trade in front. Swarm of challengers, though. Here comes Amongst Friends. Cryo fights on down toward the rail. Swift Tap is fourth. 1 furlong to go. Silk Trade confronted by Amongst Friends. Amongst Friends has taken the lead. Silk Trade has to fight back. Is back into second. It's Amongst Friends in front, short of the wire, and he does it. Amongst Friends works out a trip to beat Silk Trade on the money. It was tight for third there. Cryo or Swift Tap.
All right, the one horse Amongst Friends wins the race 5 right there.
It was 5-1. Nice price.
5-1. Nice race right there for Amongst Friends. All right, Dan, before we let you go, real quick, I just want to know, like, for all those NBA fans watching free agency right now, give us a little inside baseball. What should basketball fans be watching during this free agency period?
Well, the interesting thing is there are so few teams that have any cap room at all. you're not going to see a bunch of players move around. If you'll notice, I would say 90% of the free agent signings so far have been players returning to their own teams. I mean, two UK graduates or two UK yep. attendees, Booker and Carl Anthony Towns, both got the max, $250 million. So good for them. The interesting thing is where Kevin Durant winds up. I mean, you know, as a young kid, you run away to join the circus. He's running away to get away from the circus that is the Brooklyn Nets. So there's not a lot of teams that can trade for him. But I think Durant looked at what happened with Ben Simmons last year, not playing after the trade, and the Kyrie Irving. And so it's going to be real interesting to see where Kevin Durant winds up. And if it's with a good team, he makes him an automatic contender, I think.
And I guess that good team more than likely would be the Miami Heat or the Phoenix Suns is what the kind of the early thoughts are. But like you said, freeing up those resources to go get a contract like Durant. But you're getting him for 4 years.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. And he's still he's had some injury problems. But I think right now, if you took a poll around the NBA and said who's the best player in pro basketball today, I think Kevin Durant wins pretty easily.
Well, Dan, we appreciate you jumping on with us today on the Happy Hour. I will be back with you 10 o'clock on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, my friend, okay?
All right, we got some breaking news, by the way, and Dan might want to hear this. Dan, are you gone?
Yeah.
All right. The waiver request for Bellarmine and other transitioning D2 programs to be eligible for the 2023 D1 NCAA tournament has been denied. So Bellarmine will not be eligible for next year's, which that's coming out of Pat 40. Obviously, devastating news for Scotty D. I just don't understand
it. It's stupid.
If you're moving down, I get it. If you're moving up. And then, of course, when I was at Spalding, they made the jump from NAIA to Division III, and we had to sit out these 4 years, too, and it was just being these limbo. It's dumb. So, anyway.
All right, Dan, say something nice about Scotty D.
Yeah. He's the best. He is the best. I mean, anybody who lines up the schedule that he has for this year.
Going to play in UCLA and then 2 days later going to play at Rupp is nuts.
Good
absolutely
for him.
Nuts.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. Good luck, and may all your winners come this weekend.
Thanks a lot,
thanks,
Dan.
Thanks, Dan. We appreciate it. See you Tuesday, bud.
All right, we just got a couple minutes. Nick, we got a hard out. Okay, so we got about 5 minutes left to go in the show. And, Lou, you want to just get some just quick thoughts on the rest of the card?
No, I want to talk about Bellarmine.
Oh, let's talk about Bellarmine.
I want to talk about Bellarmine and how stupid it is that they can't participate in the postseason. And it's not because I've gotten to meet Scotty D or anything like that. It is needless, needless swatting of small programs that are trying to better themselves, make their universities better. Moving to D1, the process that they undertook at Bellarmine to do that, and then just to say, well, you know, okay, we'll see in a half decade. It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable. If their conference deems it okay for them to join them on a week-in, week-out basis for competition at the Division I level, then the rest of freaking Division I should accept them as well. And by the way, this is Greg Sankey throwing down.
Right.
Get out of the way. Be better. You're the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, and you're pooping on Bellarmine? Get out of here.
Well, and this whole thing to me, too, like because you're talking about if you're good enough to win that ASUN Conference, this is a legit basketball league. This is a league that goes in and makes noise. You're just taking kids who deserve to have the opportunity, and they all want to play in the NCAA tournament. And in Bellarmine's case, they had they lost their best player who transferred out to go play for a program
Dylan
that had
Penn,
a chance. Yeah. So Dylan Penn's jumped ship, and – you know, and again, Nick, being – I'd love to hear your take too, but, you know, being a Bellarmine person, being there with your dad and just getting a chance to go to that conference championship game last year in Freedom Hall and seeing close to 10,000 fans in that arena cheering for Bellarmine basketball, hoping that they get an opportunity, it's great for the city. But, I mean, to have – we could have two legit Division I programs here really soon. And I just
why couldn't Bellarmine very quickly become a Belmont? or a...
Oh, I think Belmont's too low for them, honestly.
Okay, great.
I think they could become a Dayton.
Sure, that's a good example. I like that better, actually. Yes.
I think that's a legit opportunity for them to be at that level where they're a Dayton. Or Liberty's been the team of that conference. They could become a Liberty. A team that could definitely... You know, we have a tradition-rich state in basketball. Western's got an unbelievable tradition. And I don't know. I think there's years where they could get up to compete at that level where they could be at a Western level. But we've seen what Moorhead's been able to do, what Murray's been able to do.
Of course.
They should be able to be right up there with those guys.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's really bothersome that they would make the move, the other members of their conference would go along with it. I understand, and I'm sure someone has texted in, Nick, I'm sure. They knew the rules when they signed up.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the rule when they made the initial transition that they couldn't compete, for example, in the NIT.
Right.
And then they made the rule after they transitioned and then applied it to them anyway. That's BS. It just is. It's BS.
The NIT thing is unfortunate for sure, and that's because, again, the NCAA owns the NIT now, and they didn't at the time when Bellman made the transition. And, of course, we've all heard that the NCAA does not own the women's NIT, so the women's program for Bellman, if they qualify for the NIT, could play in the NIT. So, I would love to see them be able to get some sort of postseason love. But to be honest, I was also kind of disappointed when they decided not to go play in the CBI last year.
Yeah.
You know, I thought they had a chance to further their season. They decided that the disappointment of not being in the NCAA or the NIT was too great.
I wonder if that was financial.
It could have been.
Because I can't imagine the CBI pays much and the travel and moving guys around if you have to travel for that. That might start to add up for a program the size of Bellarmine. I'm not saying they don't have good resources. They do. No, they're doing a good job over there. It's just when you look at a CBI, what is the risk reward? What's the payout for going and doing that? I just don't know that it's very high.
Well, this is the Horse Racing Happy Hour. Nick Valvano, thanks a lot for helping us out there.
My pleasure, guys. Have a safe and everyone listening, have a safe, happy holiday weekend.
All right, thanks a lot. Yes. We'll see you next time. This is the Horse Racing Happy Hour.
UPS is hiring warehouse workers, package handlers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying up to $21 an hour and offer great benefits, including 100% paid tuition, plus housing for some with our Metro College or Loop programs. Shift your team, shift your future, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference. UPSjobs.com.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.